Well, good Wednesday evening. Welcome to Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. We're glad you're here tonight. And if you came because you love the Lord, let me say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we ought to do everything we do because we love the Lord Jesus. And if you can't do it, in Jesus' name, you shouldn't be doing it. Now, I was told that the only reason Miss Crystal showed up on time today is because it was Texas time. Is that true?
It's true.
You're an hour ahead and you only made it 10 minutes early. God bless you, brother. We'll pray for you. Number 263, verily, verily. Oh, what a Savior. He died for me. Never gets old, it never tires out, it never wears out, it never dies out. It's always fresh and anew every morning. He loves you just as much today as he did when he died on Calvary. Old preacher was preaching. He preached like 50 Sundays in a row, and his wife told him, he said, hey, you need to take a vacation. So they both packed up, went up in the mountains, took a vacation. He went to sleep, got up the next day, and the wife said, did you sleep any last night? He said, yeah, why? He said, you look tired. Are you sure you slept some? He said, yeah, I slept. I slept so much I dreamed I was a muffler. And I woke up this morning exhausted. Number 228. I love to tell a story. You love telling people you got saved? You should. That's that message. It's ever new.
I know Jesus. evening. Good to see all of you. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's open up with a word of prayer. I'll ask Brother Joe Martinez if you would ask God to bless the service, please. Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Good to be here this evening. Hope that you're doing well and you've had a good week thus far. I have nothing to complain about and hope that you don't either. And the Lord's been good to us this week. I have a missionary prayer letter here from Tom and Cindy Brewer. They're missionaries to Brazil. And he says, "Dear Pastor Fox and Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, things are going great. Things are going great here. Praise the Lord. Our town had to regress again for 2 weeks to phase two or whatever it might be called, Brazil and Rondonia. The state where we live and work has some really sad statistics concerning COVID. However, this does not seem to have taken our Lord and Savior by surprise. The government here has issued a decree that churches and worship services are essential to society. And so, since we believe that too, we are having our 4 regular services per week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and Saturday evening. Sunday night, we had 33 people present. Last night, Wednesday, we had a good number with 2 different adult couples making a first-time visit. We are having a good group of teens who are coming on a regular basis. This month, we have had 4 families in our home for ice cream and fellowship, a total of 16 people. One of those was a family of members who has been away from the Lord. They have started to come to services again and are accompanying our digital messages at home. Another family we got to know for the first time. We believe that all we who are in God's ministry need to keep on keeping on. We do not read, "Go ye therefore," unless there is a virus. I do understand that COVID is a very real danger to health, and certainly there are different situations. But what is the worst that can happen? Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:21. He says, "Give me heaven instead of a mask." Although I cannot ideally do live or streaming because the folks in our area cannot ideally have the access they need to hear or watch, I do use technology as much as an older guy can, and I'm learning more. It just is not the same and has not the same effect as going house to house and having as much as possible preaching services available. Cindy and I are taking advantage of the lower airline ticket prices for me to get back to Oklahoma City for a spine x-ray and injection that my spine says is past due. Of course, we will also get to see family, friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ while we are there for 3 weeks. We do ask prayer that this will work out, because even though we do have tickets, that does not necessarily mean that things will work out like they are supposed to. He says, "Thank you for your support in July in Christ Jesus, Tom Brewer." So it's good to hear from him. He's keeping on, keeping on, getting some fruit for his labors, and so it's good to hear from him. Prayer request this evening. Remember those who have health issues: Lori Santianis, Eddie Burgos, Dennis, Johnny May Turner, Miss Ruby Fox, and remember Evelyn Stanford. She broke her leg and is hospitalized in Lubbock. Be in prayer for our church property to sell, for Rosemary for Salvation, Rick McAkron, who has COVID-19, and this is a prayer request from my sister Amber. They know some people in Williston, North Dakota. Their names are Lawrence and Mariah, and they have 4 kids, and they're expecting another. And Lawrence was in a car accident and is paralyzed from the waist down. And so be in prayer for Lawrence and Mariah and their family and their children and the one that's on the way with that tragedy there. Any unspoken prayer requests? Well, unspoken. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to that? Any prayer requests this evening? Brother Montoya?
Just pray for anyone that has lost loved ones, members.
Okay.
Just pray for somebody that's lost a member.
Go on. And just want to keep those people who are in the nursing homes in your prayers. They are having a hard time not being able to have visitors. I know I mention that every once in a while, but they are there and they can't have visitors. They can see people through the windows and things like that, but they're not allowed to go in there. And so those people are having a tough time. Also, all of our healthcare workers, nurses, those who are working in the healthcare industry, be in prayer for those people as well. Brother Michael?
Pray for my nephew, William. He's not the youngest. He's having some health issues.
Okay. Anybody else? Brother Yazi? Pray for Vienna over in Las Cruces. And college is going again. Is she taking online classes over there? Or is she able to go just online? That's what they're doing here too. Anybody else? Any prayer requests? Okay. That's all the prayer requests that I see. So just remember these in your prayers. And let's go ahead and stand, get a hymn book, and we'll sing another song.
Number 102, He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Amen. offering at this time. I'll ask Brother Michael Santillanes if you'd ask God to bless it for us, please. Took him all the way to Calvary. Let's stand and sing number 86, In the Garden. The voice of Jesus Christ in your life. You understand that?
Bless you. Amen. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Thank you for the good music tonight. Thank you for singing. Thank you for playing the piano. I love to come to church, don't you? Amen. I know you do. You wouldn't be here. Wednesday night crowd. Going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you turn your Bibles there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Find your place and look up here. Let me say a few words before we get started. The Bible tells us where we came from, where we're going, and how to get there. There are, I don't know how many million books in the Library of Congress, probably in Washington, D.C., probably 50 million. There's a Bible there. It's the only book in the Library of Congress out of all those millions of books that's been printed and written that says that it is given by inspiration of God. And when you hear that, given by inspiration of God, if we just say it in plain English, that means that God gave it to us, that it came from God. It's the only book that claims inspiration. It is given by inspiration of God. The Bible tells us, as we sang that song tonight, I love to tell the story. The story we're talking about is the gospel story, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day, and that He ascended up to heaven, and that He's coming back one of these days, whenever God so desires for Him to come back. He's going to take us up from here. So the Bible tells us all of these things, tells us how to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a religious thing. It's not about somebody's church. It's not about anybody's church. You know, church has nothing to do with it. It's about a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must personally accept Him as your Savior, receive Him as your Savior. It's by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Rituals and religious traditions and all that kinds of things, there are some things that have their place, such as baptism, you know. We have churches, they sprinkle babies whenever they're born. It doesn't do a bit of good. It just gets them all wet. It doesn't help them. It does not regenerate them. It does not save them. It does not wash away original sin. It does nothing of that sort. You get baptized because you have been saved. If you've already been saved, then you can get baptized. It is a picture of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're identifying yourself with Him. And so, if you're not saved tonight, God loves you. Jesus died for you. And the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. We get saved first, and then we learn how to live the Christian life. That's what we have a Bible for. We read the Bible, we come to church, and we learn. And you know, Jesus Christ will save your soul. Yes, the Bible will change your life, you see. God begins a work of sanctification in you whenever you get saved. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, this is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, if you are truly saved, He will never let you go. Thank God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's read the first 8 verses. The first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. I'm sorry, my stomach, I've got an upset belly, and I'm going to have to pray for it tonight here when we get through reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, that is Paul's writing, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, Why dost thou glory? As if thou hadst not received it. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. First 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let us pray. You pray with me and for me. Father in heaven, dear God, we come to thy throne of grace. We thank you tonight for the privilege to be assembled together and the privilege to say something from your words. And we thank you, God, that we all have Bibles. We've got many Bibles, all of them. I know there's people in the world, God, that don't have a single copy, possibly. We are privileged, God. And with that comes great responsibility. So please help us tonight. God, we pray the Spirit of God would please direct our paths and lead us and guide us into all truth. And please help me. And Lord, I've got a stomachache, and I pray that you'd help me and take it away, please, so I can speak. And I pray and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in this chapter here, chapter number 4, Paul continues on the thought that he took up, at least partially, in chapter number 3, that the men who taught these people at the church, they were following them, and there was some division in the church there. So he continues on with that somewhat in this chapter. And he said, for these men that are found in chapter number 3 there, he mentioned 3. He mentioned Paul, he mentioned Apollos, and he mentioned Cephas, or the Apostle Peter. He mentioned them, and he said, we're nothing. We're just messengers. And so he kind of continues on with that. He says in verse number 1 that we are to think of them as ministers of Christ. And then he says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. And so he takes up that thought. Paul is the founder of the church at Corinth, according to Acts chapter number 18. And he must have acted, it seems to me like he would have. He would have acted as the pastor there for a while, because he stayed there for a year and a half, 18 months, teaching those people. You know, if I had any desire that I wanted, I would hear 3 or 4 people preach. One of them would be Jesus, of course. The other one would be the Apostle Paul. And I would have liked to heard Moses. I would have liked to seen him. Here, the Apostle Paul stayed there. He stayed at this church for 18 months teaching these people. And he's the founder of that church. He got some people together. He went and he preached there. He preached in the synagogue. You know, every town that he went to, he'd go to the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue. That's where the Jews are. You know why he goes to the synagogue? Number one, because he loves the Jews. Number two, they're unsaved. And he goes there to preach to them, see. He goes there to preach to them. And so he preached to them, and he must have acted as the pastor. I would have loved to have heard him preach. And, you know, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the whole Bible. They had an Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. They had that. And my Bible here says 57 A.D. There might have been a book or a few books written by that time. I don't know. But they didn't have everything that we know. We have the completed Bible from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 to Revelation 22:21. We have all those books, every word that God intended for us to have. We have those books, and we're supposed to read them. The Bible says Old Testament, New Testament is given for our learning, for our admonition, to help us to grow in the faith. So let me read verse number 1 for you. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When he says that, let a man so account of us. When he says the word us there, Paul is talking about himself and Apollos and Cephas, probably, from the chapter number 3. And when he says, let a man so account of us, he says, I want you to think of us like this. Think of us in this way as ministers of Christ. Think of us like that. Don't put us up too high. Don't put us down too low. Put us where we're supposed to be. We're ministers of Christ. And he said, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is like this. A steward is a manager of a large household. If you're rich enough, you might have a steward at your house to take care of your house. If you're poor like me, then you do it all yourself. You know, that's what you do. You do it all yourself. Or your wife does it all herself, you know. And you help out a little bit, see. But a steward is a manager, or he's over a household, or something like that. You know, stewards, a farm or a ship. You know, I think on ships. I've been on one ship in my life, and that was in 1967. I went across the seas to Vietnam. It took me 22 days, 22 days. And I won't tell you all the things that happened to us on the ship there. But one time was enough for me. One time was enough for me. As all the things that you travel on, like airplanes and things like that, I want to travel in a car. That's all I'm ever going to do. I'm either going to walk or travel in a car or on my tractor, one or the other, like that, you know. I don't want to fly anymore. I've done enough flying. I don't want to go a train. I've never been on a train. Yeah, I've been on a train. My son Clayton's train. I've been on that. But a car's fine with me. I like to drive and take my time and all that kind of stuff, you know. He said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here's what I told you what a steward is, a manager of a large household. In the Bible, an example, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 2, Abraham is talking to God, and he said, God, you gave me all these promises now, and you know, you told me that my seed, my descendants, would be like the stars of heaven. You told me all of that. And he said, but I don't even have a kid. I don't even have one son. All I have is this steward of my household, because he was a rich man. He said, all I have is this one steward, you know, to take my place and inherit everything I've got. His name is Eliezer. He said, that's all I've got is a steward. So see, he's a rich man, and he had a steward over his household. Now, he got a son later on. His name was Isaac, see. So just an example there. But Paul said, think of us like this. We're ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What is a mystery? What is a mystery? A mystery is this. Let me see. A mystery is, I'm looking in my notes here. I'm going to find it here in just a minute. I guess I'll just have to work my way down to it. But Paul is saying there that we have been given a responsibility to teach and preach these things, mysteries, to make them known, to make mysteries known. You see, mysteries are things that God has made known to us that were not previously made. They were not made known. And Paul was given these mysteries. And so in his writings, but here's what a mystery is. If you were to look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, a mystery is a profound secret, something wholly unknown or kept concealed. That's what a mystery is. In the Bible, there are mysteries. For instance, in the book of Matthew, there are 12 mysteries. There are mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And we just started studying the book of Matthew. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking tonight about mysteries in the writings of Paul. I call them Pauline mysteries. There are at least 7 that Paul is given. I'm going to give you these mysteries, and I want you to look them up with me if you can, all right? The mysteries that Paul said we are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Let me tell you something before we look them up. God has given us responsibility, especially preachers. That's what he's talking about here, ministers of Christ. We are to be stewards, and we are to faithfully preach the mysteries of God. I don't know if you know all of them. We've preached them before, but you may not have written them down. I'm going to give them to you in order. The first one is Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. We looked that up not too long ago, just a few services back. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. This mystery, we don't have time to teach everyone. I just have time to show you the mysteries, what they are. I'm going to give you 7 of them in Paul's writings, and one of them in John's writings. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul said this, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So what is the mystery? The mystery is that Israel is blind. They are blinded to the gospel because they rejected Jesus Christ, and so God set them aside. He is not dealing with them yet at this time, but He will. So that's the blindness of Israel. That is the mystery there. They are blind to the gospel. For the last 2,000 years, they have been blind. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. This is the mystery of the rapture. You should have these marked. They should be marked. Be familiar with them. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Paul again is writing. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Changed what? From a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. That's whenever Jesus comes. He'll take us up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If He comes tonight, we'll not have to die. We'll not have to go through physical death, you see. That's the mystery of the rapture right there, see. We're going to go up before the great tribulation. Thank God for that. Go on over to the right a little bit to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 3 to 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 3 to 6. Verse number 3 says this: "How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Wherefore when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." See, that's what makes it a mystery. It was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is the mystery here in verse number 6? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This here is the mystery of the body of Christ, that Jews and Gentiles would be together in the same body. He's not talking about a local church, although they can be together in a local church. He's talking about a spiritual body, a body that is spiritual, but it is literal. You just can't see it. The body of Christ together. Again, about that mystery, turn back a little bit to chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter number 2. And look in verse number 11. Let me read some verses for you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past," he's writing to this church at Ephesus, they're Gentiles, "Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise." You see, the Jews had all the covenants. They had all the promises. Amen. "Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, that is, both Jew and Gentiles, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in Himself of twain, one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross," that's the body of Christ, "having slain the enmity thereof." See, so God said He made a new man. He took Jew and Gentiles, and when they get saved, they become a Christian. See, so everybody in the world is either a Jew or a Gentile or a Christian, one or the other. So that's the mystery of the body of Christ. Same book, Ephesians. Go over to chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Paul said this. I believe he's talking about prayer up there in verse number 18, praying always. Down to verse number 19, he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." All right, now that's just number 4. Going over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 27. This is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, Paul says this again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the mystery there is Christ in you. The mystery is this, that in the New Testament, under Jesus Christ, every single person who is saved, the Spirit of God would indwell them and get this word permanently.
That's right.
He would not leave them ever. He will never leave a Christian for any reason.
Right.
You say, what if he does bad things and Christians can, he's still not going to leave them. See, you heard Sunday morning, you heard about eternal security. We Baptists believe in eternal security. If you want to say it the simplest way, yeah, once saved, always saved. Yes, we believe. If a person is saved, if they are born again by the Spirit of God, if they have been regenerated, I'm not talking about somebody who's religious. I'm not talking about people who take part in just rituals. But I'm talking about somebody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and they trust Him and Him only for their salvation. They're saved. They're saved forever. They're saved for sure, you see. And so the mystery of the indwelling Christ is that Jesus Christ, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would indwell every believer permanently, forever. Going over a little bit more, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 7. This is called the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. But the mystery of iniquity doth already work. You see that? Here's Paul writing in 54 A.D.